Well, our sermon title this morning is another question, and it's a question that is worth asking. It's a question that we've asked ourselves, whether we knew it or not, over various times of our life. Who should I be? When we're adolescents, we ask it a lot because we don't have a clue. By the time we reach adulthood, we ask it a little less frequently because we've got a better idea of who we should be. But it's worth asking now and then. And it's worth asking in particular when we think of the text that was just read for us out of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about what it means to preach the gospel. And he's talking about how he can connect with people. The key verse or the key part of this text, at least as the direction we're going in, is verse 22, the second half of it. Where in this translation, Paul writes, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Well, what does this mean? Become all things to all people. Does that mean you're sort of like a chameleon? Only in this case, you're transparent that you're nothing when you're not with other people? Well, some people have interpreted it as such. I don't think they're correct. I think they're wrong. You can see how you might end up that way. There are people who think that they need to take on all of the characteristics of the group they're with, in a sense, almost no matter what. And there's a problem with that, because sometimes the characteristics of the group you're with aren't things that you want to take on to yourself. Sometimes they're in opposition to what you truly value. So what does it mean? If we're going to ask ourselves, who should I be in this context, what kind of questions might we be asking besides that? Paul was asking this question as he wrote it to the church at Corinth in the context of a tremendous cosmopolitanism. Corinth at that time was probably the leading city in Greece. We think of Athens as sort of the intellectual center, and perhaps it was. But Corinth was a large city. It was on major trade routes. It had all kinds of people through it. And thousands of people lived there. People from all kinds of backgrounds. So what did Paul mean by becoming all things to all people? Well, when we look at what he said before, he begins by talking about this obligation laid upon him to preach the gospel. And it comes in that context that it's something he needs to do. And he says he's free. And he was. He was a Roman citizen even. He was a free person, but he was willing to become a slave to win as many as possible. When he was with Jews, he became like a Jew. Even though he was no longer under that law in the same way, it was a law he knew well, and he became like that. When he was with those who were not under that law, to Gentiles, people like us, he became like them. When he was with the weak, he became weak. So what does this mean? Does it mean that Paul was just a weather vane blown by whichever direction? No, it doesn't. What Paul is talking about is one of those things that we do automatically. For example, it's very rare to come across someone who talks to a baby the same way they talk to an adult. There are some, and they're kind of odd. And it doesn't mean that you have to talk baby talk. I just don't talk baby talk very well. I do have an appalling job of it. So I just talk to babies about the things that I think I want to talk about, no matter what. But I talk differently. For example, when I'm talking to you, I don't raise my eyebrows anywhere near as much as I do when I'm talking to a baby. I'm not enthusiastic over the most trivial things like I am to babies. I don't pitch my voice as high when I'm talking to you as when I'm talking to a baby. I talk to babies differently because they are different. When we talk to toddlers, we modify our vocabulary somewhat. When we're talking to people who are hard of hearing, we speak louder. We make these adjustments all the time. And what Paul is talking about is a different kind of adjustment, but it's in the same idea or in the same set of abilities, if you will. What Paul is saying is that when he's with people who find particular things offensive, that are not offensive to him, he doesn't do them. Just like we do already. As I've said before, we have people that we don't talk about particular things around. We all have those people in our lives. You know, with that person, we don't talk about politics. With that person, we don't talk about popular music. Because it's just futile. It just makes them angry. It's a hot button for them. So we just avoid it. Does that mean that we are somehow not being true to ourselves, or that we are somehow, making compromises about our essential values? Of course not, because those aren't our essential values. And that's what Paul's talking about. Paul is saying that when we think about who should I be, we should be the person who can communicate best to the other person. What Paul is talking about is not becoming someone he is not. Paul is saying that there are times when you pay attention to what you most essentially are, and you become willing to jettison all those other things that might get in the way. That when you're with someone who doesn't pay any attention to someone who doesn't dress well, you dress well. When you're with people who are automatically suspicious of people who wear a tie, you don't wear a tie, because these things aren't important. What's important is the ability to communicate, or to move into community with these people. That's what Paul is talking about. He's not saying that we're not the person that we're meant to be, because Paul never says that we shouldn't be the person we are created to be to the utmost of our ability. Paul is saying that we need to pay attention to the things that are unimportant compared to the great job of introducing other people to Jesus. Because that's what this is about. Paul's talking about preaching the gospel. He's not talking about convincing people to vote like you, or convincing people to dress like you, or to like the kind of music you like. Paul's talking about being willing to change some of the things about yourself, at least temporarily, so that those things don't get in the way of your ability to communicate the hope that you have in Jesus. Paul said, I'm willing to become like one under the law again, rather than risk turning someone off for something that doesn't matter. Paul says, I'm willing to live as if I'm not under that law, even though I'm still under Christ's law, rather than risk putting someone off so they won't hear the message that I have, that God, through Jesus, loves them. And this is who we should be. This isn't easy. The easy way out, of course, is to become all things to all people. And so when you're with people who swear, you swear. When you're with people who sin, you sin. When you're with people who make racist jokes, you make racist jokes. That's not what Paul is talking about. The second easiest way to deal with this is to realize that Paul is not telling us to do those things, and so become yourself at all times, and you never change for anything. You're not going to dumb down your vocabulary just because you're talking to someone who's four. If they don't understand that transportation means car, too bad for them. We smile at that because it's foolish. Rigidity is no better than being so fluid you have no form. And Paul's not talking about either one of those. It's another one of these false dichotomies. And Paul is saying that no, it's not an either or choice. It's not a choice at all between those two options. Those two options don't exist for Paul. Paul is saying, take a look at these things that you do because they're comfortable for you, or because you've always done them this way, and decide whether you need to do them or not. There's a story that's told, and I don't know whether it's true or not, from an earlier era, where a family during harvest or some time like that, they needed to hire someone to help, and so they hired a young man to come and help. And because there was only one of them, he was invited to eat with the family during dinner. And the boy who's relating the story says that this young man, who was quite competent in everything he did, apparently didn't know how to eat. He didn't know what to do with a fork or even a spoon, it seemed. And so the boy's father, noticing this young man's difficulty, took out his pocket knife or his belt knife, whatever it might have been. It was a farm. He carried it as a sort of an all-around implement. Whipped it out and started eating just with a knife, including vegetables and things. It is apparently possible to eat peas with a knife. I've never tried it, but it can be done, apparently. And when the young man noticed that the father, the head of the house, was eating with a knife, he took out his own knife, in which case began to eat with the alacrity that all young men are able to eat with, it seems. Apparently the young boy sort of furtively looked at his own knife and then his mother and got the shaking of the head that, no, you will not do that. This was a family where proper table manners were appreciated. And yet the father looked at it and thought, these proper table manners are interfering with this young man's ability to eat. And so he went to where he was, and he limited his own abilities, if you will, to use a fork and such. That's where the story ends, but I wonder if for some reason during a break the next day that father had had opportunity to talk to that young man about something of significance, whether it was a faith or who knows what. Do you think he would have got a better hearing than he would have otherwise? Of course he would have. If we're willing to go to where people are, not out of a sense of judgment, but out of a sense of trying to figure out who they are and why they're where they are, and we go there with an authentic desire to understand them, to do without some of the things we might otherwise, does that not gain us an audience that we wouldn't have otherwise? If you want to work with the homeless, you need to give up a daily and 100% commitment to cleanliness as you currently understand it. Cleanliness may be next to godliness. That's not in the Bible, but it's not such a bad proverb, I suppose. But if cleanliness gets in the way of demonstrating godliness, I think there's a problem with it. People who work with the homeless get used to a different level of sanitation, if you will, and hygiene. If you want to work with dock workers, lumberjacks, or, heaven forbid, meatpacking plant workers, you had better develop a tolerance for language. That doesn't mean you have to use the same language. But you can't be imposing your own sense of proper adjectives on these people if you want to communicate with them. Does that mean you have to use their language? Of course not. But it means you have to let go of your sense that I don't talk to people who talk that way, because they're not going to change for you. Who should I be? I should always be the person who is doing everything I can to reduce the barriers between me and the person I want to communicate with. Without letting go of who I am and who I was created to be, without letting go of what I know to be true and what I know to be right, but being willing to let go of all of those things that are convenient, that are traditional, that are comfortable even for me. Because that's what Paul's talking about when he says, I will become all things to all people. Not that I'll become a pagan. Not that I'll give up my faith to talk to people without faith. But that I'll give up the things that make me comfortable, that make them uncomfortable. That I'll be willing to talk to them, not using all of the wonders of my vocabulary if it gets in the way. And at the same time, that I'll be willing to tidy up my grammar for some people if that's what needs to be done. That I'll be willing to get away from the tyranny of the clock if I'm dealing with people for whom punctuality is different than me. These are all things that we think are trivial, and in many ways they are. But sometimes it's those things that we think are trivial that create such a tremendous barrier. When I was a younger person, the chances of me listening to someone who had something of significance to say to me, who was generally grammatically incorrect, were zero. Because I was a narrow-minded language bigot. This is not anything good about me, and it wasn't. But the people that wanted to talk to me, the people that I listened to, were ones who used language well. If somebody had the best news ever and spoke in a way that I found repellent, I wouldn't hear it. That didn't make me superior to them. What it meant is that I wouldn't hear that. But if somebody wanted to communicate to me, and there are some that I know made the effort to use language and to use it well. It's perhaps uncomfortable for them. It was certainly foreign to them. But they were willing to do it. Why? To show off? They didn't need to show off to some callow youth with a ridiculous view of how language should work. No, they thought I was a valuable human being because I was a human being. All of us in our lives, if we think back on it, have had people around us who changed some part of their behavior or their language, in my case, or whatever it might be, so that we would hear them best. And we're grateful for them. People who were willing to get past what was easiest for them so they could do what was easiest for us. That's what Paul's talking about. Who should I be? I should be someone who, to the limit of my ability, makes choices that don't interfere with any message I might have, so that people can hear it best, and that they might too know the message of hope I may have for them that comes to me through Jesus, that I might pass it on to others. That's who I should be. That's who we all should be. Do everything we can to become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, we might be part of saving some. Amen.